All right, you guys, welcome back. Hard Rock Radio Live, where the music doesn't suck. I'm DJ Lovely Laura, hanging out with you guys here today. Just played a little double shot of Steelheart for you out there with I'll Never Let You Go and We All Die Young. Well, I hope you ladies are ready out there. I know I have a packed house in the chat room right now. I want to welcome the very sexy, iconic rock vocalist, Millie of Steelheart, calling us live from California right now. Hey, Millie, good morning to you.
Good morning to all of you. Where is it? Is it morning there or is it afternoon?
It's actually, well, I'm Central Standard Time, so I don't know where everybody else is, but it's definitely 1 o'clock in the afternoon here.
Okay. Oh, it's still morning. I'm still having my coffee. So, good morning to everybody.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got you on. We missed you in December, so we got to finally get you rescheduled back on. So, it's a pleasure to have you, Millie.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, what's been going on? I heard that you just got back from Korea for New Year's. What happened over there?
We've been touring a lot in Asia last year. We did China. Well, a really big show in China, which we filmed. Actually, we're trying to get that edited for everyone. But Korea, yeah, we did a lot of work there. We should also just did a. Oh, She's Gone. I re-sang She's Gone in dubstep. It's like electronic or dubstep. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And that's gonna. Yeah, it's it works. It really works. So we had some producers over in Korea. These great producers recreated the music, you know, and that, and I re-sang it, and it came out pretty damn good. So we'll see what, it's going to be released only in Korea. Maybe it'll come to the United States. I don't know. We'll see how that works, one step at a time first. But we did a lot of shows there as well, TV shows, and we're going to be going there again to do festivals. And it's interesting, you know, Asia. We worked for years in Asia, and they like us, so we go back, you know.
That's right. That's like some of your biggest fan base, isn't it, Asia?
Interesting, you know, Steelheart has a lot of fan base throughout the world. It's just everywhere. It's just Asia. I mean, you got Europe, you got parts of the United States. You know, it's just like big pockets. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now it's growing. You know, the Grow Mealy thing too. You know, just doing some solo stuff.
Right.
It's a good position, a good place to be in.
So what made you want to do this electronica techno version of the song? Was it from the people over there? And where can we listen to this?
Well, it hasn't been released yet.
Oh, okay.
But it will be released in Korea only. And that all depends, you know, see how it goes, and then we'll, you know, put it to the rest of the world. I'm not sure. I just don't know yet. But to hear it... after it's released, maybe I'll put it up on the website, you know. But it's kind of hard because, you know, once it's up, it's through the world anyway, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, give me a few minutes. I think it's going to be released end of February, and then we'll see if we give it to the rest of the world, see what they think.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear that. All right, so going back in time a little bit, Millie, back 80s, 90s, when you guys, I was reading up a little bit, you guys got signed rather quickly when you moved out here to LA, is that correct?
I'm sorry, it cut out for a second.
When you came out here to LA, when you first got started, I think I read up that you guys got signed quite quickly once you came out here. You were going to college and doing some other things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was crazy. Oh, yeah, that was like a total, how would I say, like a movie kind of thing. You know, when they say to you, you know, you get signed overnight and you make it overnight.
Right.
That kind of thing. Well, yeah, well, that does happen, but, you know, nobody talks about the 20 years beforehand, what it took to get to that, you know, 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was in, it was how it worked out. We made this demo of four songs,
mm-hmm.
One of which was Angel Eyes. And we, I was eating dinner. I remember eating dinner with my family, and I was like, you know, so what are you doing? You know, Millie, what are you doing? What's your plan? So I'm leaving Friday for Los Angeles to start. And it was like my father said, do it.
Really?
That's good. Do it. That's all he said. Do it. You know? And so I went to Los Angeles, and I somebody introduced me to a manager, and the guy didn't even want to listen to the music. You know, he was just, he said, no, I got acts, I got too many things going on.
Right.
If I listen to it, I may like it. If I like it, then I got another act that I got to deal with, and I'm already on overload. He says, well, you know what, I can't, maybe just send it to me. So he sent it to him. He was in Los Angeles. He's from New York, okay?
Right.
And so I sent him the CD. When he FedExed it to him. So when he came back the next day, it was ready to bed. So I beat him to it, you know?
Right.
And so he had to listen to it. And on the answering machine, I didn't even come home yet. And on the answering machine, I can hear Angel Eyes. It's to the second chorus. He goes, it is a good words. You ready? It is that good. You got to come into New York. We got to talk.
Oh, wow. What an amazing story. That is so awesome.
Yeah. And what was funny is after that, right?
Right.
I mean, literally, I swear to you, went in New York that week, that I came back like maybe on a Tuesday, or went into New York on a Friday, it was like earlier. I went in New York by Wednesday. On Friday, he left me a message on my machine, signed to MCA Records. Have a good weekend. Mm-hmm. That was it. So it happened like, everything happened like within a week and a half.
Wow.
Crazy.
So you were just touring on the, you got signed, you were touring with some, what bands were you touring with at that time?
Well, it was afterwards. I mean, after we made the record, we toured with, we did the Lynch Mob, we did Great White, Scorpions, I don't remember, just
a lot of those 80s bands.
Yeah, toured the world. I mean, we toured the world like four times.
Well, it's great to hear your dad said, you know, go, because I heard that you grew up with your brother and your dad around country music, so did you just want to rebel and go the other way, or?
You know, I guess it happened is that I really, until this day, I enjoy the country style, the vibe, you know?
Really?
But what was weird is when we came to this country, that's what my father listened to. So we had no clue of anything else that was going on, you know?
Right.
So we were being fed information that he liked and what he knew. And we were, you know, doing these songs, doing Johnny Cash and Denver and, you know, all these other country artists. And it was like, that's what we were doing. We were singing. And then one day we met this one kid who introduced us to Led Zeppelin. He goes, hey, you need to hear this. Check this out. And he was a drummer. And we're, as soon as we heard Zeppelin, it was like, okay, now this is a whole different game. We just took such a great liking to it. It just connected with us. And we started changing. We started doing the music, and we started to Zeppelin, started singing the songs and learning the songs. And basically, that's when our whole lives went downhill, because that didn't go over too well, you know?
Right.
And it was an argument. Your hair's too long. We'd go in there, he'd pay him off. I'd come in there, all right, just give me a little trim, something like this. I'd come out of there, I had basically half bald.
with
this awful dude. And I was like, he paid him off to cut it short.
They gave you a military haircut, huh?
Oh, man, how can you be a rock star? You know what I mean?
Well, hey, you're not sporting the long hair anymore. I'm kind of missing that.
You know, I'm kind of growing it out, but I'm in that ugly stage, you know, in that half stage. Not quite sure how good it just doesn't look, no matter what you do with it, doesn't look good.
Oh, Millie, come on.
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe growing it a little longer again, see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, you still
like the short, so now she's got to look at me, so.
Well, you look great both ways. I'm just saying, I do miss the long hair. All right, so you grew up, your dad, you were into that country music. Speaking of Led Zeppelin, the Black Dog cover, I mean, I really didn't know what to think about that, because not too many people can touch Robert Plant, okay? Give us that, Millie. But you did an amazing job and put such a uniqueness to it. I loved it. I really did. I can't wait to play it for the people today. What made you want to do that?
Yeah, yeah. So you have you ever played it on the air yet?
I don't think I have, actually. I'm going to play it today after our interview. That's one of the first ones I want to play after we talk today. Yeah, because it's so great. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, perfect. I was thinking about, I'm considering, let's just talk about it. I did Black Dog, and also did Hallelujah. I don't know if you heard Hallelujah.
Yeah, I did.
For Christmas.
I did hear that. That was
holidays.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
yes.
I did a version of Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, just piano, orchestra, and a choir.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It came out really nice.
Really beautiful.
Considering I'm doing a whole record of all the great singers that I love.
Oh, awesome.
Well, you know, it's like that's what I started with what do you call it, Black Dog. And so we'll see. I may do some of the Doors stuff.
Yeah, you did a Doors tour, didn't you?
With the Doors.
Yeah, didn't you do a tour thing with them?
Or last year we did two flat tours, European tour and United States tour.
Yeah, you sounded a lot like Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
It was kind of like eerie how much you sounded like him.
Well, I gotta tell you, he was, I would say that Jim was standing next to me in a lot of the shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was powerful. It was good. It was really good. It was fun. You know, it was just connecting with that energy.
Right.
Space. You know, it's all about being invited into that space, you know.
Right.
That
did you do some research on him, like, to see, like, how he was on stage and about his personality, or did you just go out there, you know, yourself, or how did you do that?
I really did. What was crazy is that I had 30 days to learn three songs,
mm-hmm.
which was ridiculous, right? and I did. I mean, we went out. We would do 24 to 25 songs a night, and no cheat sheets. Remember the lyrics. I mean, into the spirit of it, you know.
Right.
And if you fall to it, then you're part of it. You know, that's the only way I know how to perform or writing. So I think I may have fell track here a little bit, but bottom line, it was an amazing experience. And yes, I connected deeply with Jim. I did look at some of the old ghettos, but no, I did not go out there to try to be Jim, because that would not work.
Exactly.
Jim Morrison. I am there to transcend the spirit, though. That's the key.
Exactly.
I felt that I needed to do, and feel I've accomplished that, what I set out to do. So
yeah, some great video
on the show. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, go over there, you guys. If you just tuned in, we're talking with iconic rock vocalist Millie of Steelheart. If you want to check out some of those videos that he did on tour, the Doors, and also the Hallelujah video is over there, and the Black Dog song is over there as well, over there at www.steelheart.com. We're going to go back, Millie, and I hate to bring this up, but I have to, because this is part of your walk through life and the trials that we go through in life that make us stronger and change us to be better people and everything. But almost 20 years ago, Halloween night, Denver, Colorado. I saw the video. I couldn't believe it. I'm just so thankful that you're still with us. You're still alive. You're just out there still doing what you love. What happened that night? Did you know this was going to happen? Did you plan to climb that tower that night? What happened?
No, I didn't know. I mean, we were performing Denver Arena, so it's like, you know, you got a audience and you got a stage set up, and you're a rock star, you know, crazy young, full of piss and vinegar, and you know, you grab on your clothes, you know what I mean? That's just the way it is, you know?
Right, just being crazy.
And what they did is they stood up those massive, you know, how you have the trusses, the lighting trusses that are all there to the ceiling and everything?
Yeah, they're huge.
What they did is they stood them up.
Right.
On each side.
Yeah.
And they loaded them with light, which is like, you know, shit, I don't know, 1,000 pounds? It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't secure it to the ceiling. They basically put them up and kind of balanced them. Okay, nobody touched these. Well, you can't do that, and you've got, you know, like 15,000 people you could take out a whole front row if it fell out into the front row,
Oh, my God, yes.
So I went over the thing, and I grabbed it. I mean, I barely touched it, well, that way. And I didn't really, jump on it. I just grabbed it to maybe climb it,
Right.
As soon as I touched it, it was, kind of teetering. I was like, uh-oh, I got to get the hell out of here. So I tried to get out of the way, and then I had the monitors in front of me. Try to jump over the monitors, and just as I got to the end of the monitor, the whole thing just hit me right in the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
And it was, square in the back. I hit the stage face first.
Mm.
My nose, my cheekbone, twisted back, my head, my legs. I mean, it was a mess.
Right.
It was really, really, it was, a dying, yet a rebirth.
Right.
That's the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I did die that night. That part of me, a huge part of me, changed.
Right.
I do in a good way. I do feel in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
The pain, what happened afterwards, when I got home, my brain swelled. So I was fine for a week, but then after a week, my brain swelled. It was just indescribable pain.
Wow.
Didn't even blink. I couldn't blink. So
oh, wow.
For months, this is what I went through for, like, 7-8 months. It was just pain. And that was it. I mean, basically, I went through a huge, huge, massive roller coaster. I went from being, at the top of the world to getting that energy to, injury to shit. With nothing on the floor with 13 cents. So I felt the whole, the whole, as every rock star does, they get to the top and then you come down and all of a sudden they're on the floor and then they up and, the roller coaster. I don't advise it for anybody, but it built a whole nother level, though. It showed me a lot of things, more understanding, more. It just built me to the level of a man.
Right.
So, that's what it is,
Right.
I made it this far, so.
That's right. Thank goodness.
Wood, right?
That's right. You made it. You're still with us, and you're out there just singing your heart out better than ever, looking great. And what was some of the inspiration, though, that got you through that rehabilitation, that part? Was it your family? Was it your faith? Was it a girlfriend?
No, it was really... It was all up to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, for years, everybody was crazy. Everyone thought that I was fine. My family, I was like, he's fine. I'm not fine. How am I fine? I wake up 3 a.m. and I'm driving 2.5 hours away from home. How is that fine? You know what I mean?
Right.
Stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't think you're I'm sure people who have had TBI, traumatic brain injury, will understand. It's just you just the way the mind works. You got to retrain it. You got to refocus. You got to constantly remember things. It's just like it was crazy.
Right.
So, and I did it. I hate to say this, but basically alone.
Wow.
And that's I think I was alone. So.
Well. Sometimes, you don't know how strong you are until you face things like that. And it makes you appreciate life more. It makes you more humble. And I think it's, it's a part of just evolving. Like you said, it made you a better man,
Yeah, definitely. It definitely gives you a moment to think. In one of my lowest points of my life, I wrote the song Good to Be Alive.
Right.
So, my mother... my mom was died from leukemia, and my brother Frankie, my soul brother, who I grew up with,
right?
I was 6 years old. He passed away the same year.
Wow.
Leukemia. It was like really crazy.
Right.
And during this whole process and everything, I wrote one of the most uplifting songs I've ever written. It's called "Good to Be Alive." So. Now, not to get all spiritual or corny or anything.
Right,
like that,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's the one with you in the airplane or whatever, going up in the the video. Is that the one?
Oh, no, that's LOL.
That one's...
LOL is, LOL, yeah, that's the one of the fighter jet.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Was that for real? Yeah. Were you really up there in that?
That's real, of course. Well, I look like the kind of guy that would not do the real thing.
I don't know. I mean, it's videos, dude, so you don't know.
No. That's full on real. Definitely real.
Wow.
But,
I mean, I didn't know if, like, with your the stuff that happened with your head and your brain and stuff, if you could even still do stuff like that. So that's why I was asking.
No, I'm good. I'm in a good space. I'm strong. I'm sharp. You know, I'm good. I'm ready. I'm excited to do a lot of new things and new music. I just moved from Virginia back to Los Angeles.
Right.
Because I just want to be Los Angeles right now. It's got a good energy. It's like the music business is morphing into the new model, and I want to be a part of it. So, Los Angeles to New York, those are the two places you got to be in order to, you know, be a part of the scene, so to speak, the morph. So.
Well, great. And you're also working with North Sea Films, is that correct, about the biographical documentary? When's that going to come out? That's about the Good to Be Alive, right?
Yeah, that's the documentary on my journey, my whole life.
That's going to be awesome.
Dana Altman, who's Robert Altman, a grandson, North Sea Films, mm-hmm. You know, with Lionsgate Films. We this project a couple of years ago, and we filmed... particularly around the world. So we have a lot of footage. We are at the point of filming the last episode. So we're going to finish it before I want the Doors, and then the Doors project came. I was like, well, we can't stop now. I gotta, you know, because the movie is not finished yet, so to speak, or the story hasn't completed itself. So, we are at the point now to finish the finale, to get the final scene for this, the ending of this documentary. That's what we're working on right now.
Awesome.
Hopefully this year it'll be done.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. I want to say a couple of your fans in the chat room wanted to say hi to you, Millie. Joey B. from Orlando, Florida, said that he married his first wife to I'll Never Let You Go, one of your songs. And I'm assuming he was married more than once because he said his first wife. And he said hello. And Deb from Oklahoma, Deb Hightower, really sweet girl, out here, she said that she wants to know if you guys are going to come back to Rocklahoma.
We'd love to come back to Rocklahoma, but thing is, Rocklahoma was, I believe, sold to a whole different live chain, which different promoters, different everything. So I don't know. Love to come back. We'll see how it turns out.
All right, you heard him, Deb. All right. Well, Millie, I just want to say it's been a pleasure having you on today. I want to get a couple of shout-outs before we get out of here for my show and for the station, if that's cool with you. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Get creative and say whatever you want. Just make sure your name, the band's name, my name, and the station Hard Rock Radio Live's in it, and I'll tell you when to go.
Okay. Are we still on? Are we still live, or are we off?
Yeah, we're live, babe.
Oh, okay.
So if you mess up, it's in front of everybody.
Thank you for having me, and to all the beautiful fans out there, I look forward to seeing you live.
All right.
I'm working my butt off to create some more music, so I'm really excited to do this next wave of what's going to come through, so to speak, you know?
All right. Well, we wish you the best, Millie. Definitely wish you the best with all that. All right. You ready to do it?
Okay.
All right. Go.
Well, okay, wait. What am I doing? What's the...
Hey, this is Millie.
Live, right?
Yeah, we're live, but you're still going to do the shout-out because I can't stop it while I'm on the air because I'm still doing a show. So we're going to go ahead and do it live.
All right, you got it. All right, everybody ready?
We're ready. Go.
Here we go. All right, hell, you beautiful people out there in radio land. This is Millie from Steelheart. I want to thank you. I want to do this all over again. What do you think of that?
See, that's why I love to do it live, because if you fuck up, see, he's just like us.
All right, here we go. Hey, everybody out there, this is Millie from Steelheart. You are listening to DJ Lovely Laura on Hard Rock Radio Live.
All right, sounds good. Now let's do one more without my name, just for the station.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Hey, everybody out there, this is Mealy from Steelheart. You are listening to Hard Rock Radio Live. Kick it.
All right, awesome. You guys, we're going to play that killer cover tune by Led Zeppelin, and I don't think anybody could pull it off quite as good as Mealy himself. So you guys enjoy this one. This is Black Dog.